We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Dan took over last week when I was gone to Newfield, Northfield rather, New Jersey. And he got from 5:1 down through verse 9. So let's pick it up from verse 9 maybe. We'll go 9, 10, and 11 since that's a key verse that we have. If you have it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's read 5, verse 9, 10, and 11. Beginning at verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. All right, in verse number 9, God hath not appointed us. Who's the us referred to? Okay, the Thessalonians, and by application, believers and Christians and saved people, we can apply to ourselves, and not appointed us to wrath at all. The us appointed wrath. Now, what kind of wrath is there? Remember, it says in the verses ahead of that, we're the children of light, not the children of darkness. But at least two wraths. What are the two wraths in the future?
Punishment,
all right. What are the two punishments in the future that wrath might be referred to?
Probably
hellfire. Hellfire is one of the executions. What's another wrath? Tribulation, that's right. Tribulation, great wrath. The wrath of the Lamb is there, and so on. And so, this is one of the verses that show us and the trade teach us that the believers, the saved ones in the church age, those that are born again, will be taken out of here pre-tribulation, before the tribulation, before the wrath. I realize there's another view of Scripture for pre-wrath theory of the rapture, before the wrath of God, but we believe that the whole thing is a wrathful time, so we believe it's that we get out of here. So he's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain what?
Salvation.
Salvation. How?
By who?
By and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. So, John said he's writing a paper in his head to how to be saved. Is it by grace? Is it by faith? Is it by works? Does it happen after you, huh?
Verse 9. Okay.
Yes, Dave.
You know why we can't be saved by works?
No.
Works cannot die and be resurrected.
That's good. Works can't be died and resurrected. The Lord Jesus Christ can. He did. Died or resurrected from the dead. So to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
She doesn't understand the statement. Works. Things you do? Yeah. They cannot suffer and die and shed blood. Neither can they be resurrected. But that is all required for our salvation from the first sin in Genesis 1. The sacrifice of blood and, of course, in the case of our Lord. Not only the sacrifice of blood, but also the resurrection. Now, with the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There's no shedding of blood in good works.
Okay. Yes. That's good. All right.
Okay, thank you.
So, our salvation. Salvation is something we should try to accept, or should we just leave it alone? Everybody want salvation in this world?
No.
Does everybody want?
They should want.
Do they want it the right way?
No.
They have different ways of salvation.
Yeah.
All kinds of ways. What are some of the ways of salvation that works?
Works as well.
What are the ways?
By virtue of being a person.
Being a person that is universalism, God saves everyone.
Which is false.
Yeah, Rob Chapman.
False beliefs.
False beliefs. Different religions, they have a way of salvation, don't they? Yes, Mom?
I never know what to do when I'm talking. I usually it's a Catholic person, and they'll do something nice for me. Like, you know, when we were in the waiting room, we were this lady, she was Catholic, and I wanted some food, so we went there without supper, but I didn't have any change. She gave me $2, and I said, I didn't want to take you $2. I didn't want to take it. I can't remember all these. She said, that's okay, and that's a good word for me. And then she said something like that. And she said, I know that we're so saved, you know, I'm trying to say something, I don't like to be impolite. because she gave me $2. But she really felt, I guess, that that helped her that day, giving me $2, which I gave back to her eventually.
Sure.
We didn't have work in the store or something.
Huh?
But, I don't ever know what to say to people. I give them a Bible or something, but here's this lady being so nice to me. I don't like this slammer. Mm-hmm. I tried to say something. I was hoping Tammy would come in.
Yeah.
I believe that she left me struggling. I mean, I really don't know what people are like, and that's why they do a lot of nice things. That's why I don't do so many nice things. I believe that so many, you know, proper people, they do all these good things because they're relying on them for their salvation, and so they think that, and then, like, then sometimes some Christians, like, from a human perspective, it's like some Christians think that I'm really born again seem worse than
some born again Christians seem like they're worse than
I'm saying. Human perspective.
It's not human perspective. Bill.
That jihadists in that Islamic religion believe that if they die as martyrs, then it, that ensures them a place in heaven.
Yes.
Otherwise, they have no guarantee of salvation.
Yes.
So that's why so many of them are so desperate.
Yes, that's very good.
They're willing to give their lives or sacrifice their own children.
What is wrong with that? The church teaches the way of salvation.
Sacraments.
Sacraments. What else?
I don't know.
They have like a list of seven things, I think.
All right. Sacraments include
christening.
All seven. All the sacraments. All seven sacraments. All right.
All three.
You want to list them or you want to
start?
Baptism, communion, Eucharist.
What is it?
Baptism, Eucharist.
Confirmation.
Holy orders. That's seven.
And then anointing of oil.
What is it?
Last days?
Good works.
Holy orders. What do they say about membership in the Roman Catholic Church? What do they say about that?
Well, when you
play
the
past,
you become a member.
Okay, and what if you get out of the Catholic Church? What do they say about that?
You're excommunicated.
Excommunicated, which means what?
You're out.
Out? What about salvation?
You're out. I know I was
talking
about that.
But then you sort of, if you're out of the church.
You're out of the church.
Well, almost out of salvation.
But they don't tell you about being saved.
No, they don't. Like this.
I think they're probably, there's still Catholics in the church that they think, well, that's a disobedient person and we have to try and win them back. But, when you're saved and you leave the church, you don't want to come back.
Right. I was thinking by some that if you are not in the church, you cannot be saved.
Mm-hmm.
The Roman Catholic Church is the place of salvation. Leaving that is the leading salvation.
Mm-hmm. That's, like you said, that's
not good.
Yeah. And you're excommunicated. You're not part of that group of institution of Rome. You're taken out of your mind. You're no longer taking the benefit of what the sacraments give to them, which is salvation by works.
Mm-hmm.
But they may not even have the use of which salvation directly, but if they excommunicate, they have two levels of sins, venial sins and mortal sins. You know, the venials can be forgiven by confession to a human being, mortals cannot, which means before their hermeneutic, they will not be able to enter heaven after spending X number of years according to theology in their purgatory, which they created in order to raise money to build buildings.
Questions at bhtbc.org or give us a call 856-2611-8. Bill, that's something about Tammy.
All of our works are in filthy rags. I can't remember where.
Isaiah 64. Okay.
That says it all right there.
Yes, filthy rags. Good works. Tammy?
Not when I was growing up, but more so my mother's generation, if you went to another church that wasn't Roman Catholic, then you were, that was a mortal sin.
Okay,
that's
good. I never heard them say that, except this church, they did other churches.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember
them saying. And then they discouraged
Alright, so stand salvation.
Did Pope John do something missing?
Never told him. Bible too.
We had Bible stories. We had that as part of our curriculum at school.
Bible story?
It wasn't ever followed by the story that really took place. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? From Genesis to the end. It was just, you got a book here and a book there. Nothing came together because we didn't get the whole story.
Now, it says here in verse number 9, to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Explain to me theologically how the Lord Jesus Christ can bring salvation to anybody. How can he bring salvation to anybody?
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou wilt be saved.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so the faith comes in. What did he do to make salvation possible for
the
shed his blood across the Calvary? Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins. The previous verse of that is, by the also which gospel ye are saved. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on, Christ died for our sins. Mm-hmm. According to the scriptures, and the third, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And that was salvation, plus nothing.
By what did the Lord Jesus Christ, that's correct, all these things are true, to believe in him, but what did he do to make salvation possible?
The point of the verse is, live this perfect life and die on the cross.
That's all right. What, as far as God the Father is concerned?
He was the Lamb.
He was the Lamb, slain before the foundation of the world. And how does God's justice enable him to save people through his Son?
All the sins of the world
laid upon him, as says in 2 Peter 2:24, who his own self, Christ, there carried our sins in his own body on the tree and the cross, that we might be saved. So he bore the sins, and did he leave anybody's sins out at the cross of Calvary? Some people teach the lesson sins out at Calvary. What do the people, what do they call it? They say that some sins were left out at Calvary.
Only the elect
are sins. Okay, so some sins are not elect are left out, right? So they did not die according to this false teaching, this heretical teaching of the hyper-Calvinists, that only the sins of the elect were paid for at Calvary. We believe it's a heresy. All the sins of the world. What did John the Baptist say of the Lamb of God? The whole Lamb of God. Take away the sins of the elect.
Of the world.
The sins of the world. John 1, they say the world is elect, but just of the whole world. And then verse number 10, what does this mean? Who died for us? Who's the us?
Thessalonians
Christians say those who received him, and by application?
Christians
say only? It's true, he died for us. He died for the Christian. That's true.
Contextually,
died for us.
The distance is whether we wait or sleep, we should be with him. So the we, the us and the we, they should never come to the same population.
Same population, yes. But we know that he also died in addition to the Christians. To whom else? Who else?
The whole world.
The whole world, see. So the us here, they refer to believers, but the whole verse 10. Whether we wake or sleep, what does that mean?
Whether we're living or whether we're dead.
Alright, talking about 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and so on. Christian believers, yes. He died for us. Whether we wake or sleep, who are those that are awake?
That's our living.
Living
when?
Now, before the Lord Jesus comes back, and he comes back today, those who are saved, born again, and living are those who are to be transformed from mortal to what?
Immortal.
Those who are sleeping, who are they?
They're
dead Christians, saved people. And when they're corruptible, what are they going to be?
Incorruptible.
So the mortal put in immortality, corruption put in incorruptible. So, wake or sleep, we should live together with them. What's it together? Who's the one that's together?
All the
sick, whether they wake or sleep, whether they're from the graves that have already died ahead, or those who are direct are still living. We'd be together with those people and also with him. So all three groups, the Lord Jesus, the wakers, the sleepers, all together. Yes.
And we are living with him right now.
Yes.
Colossians 3:3. And you're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah.
We are with Christ in God right now.
That's right.
And only,
but that's
the only difference will be when he comes, we change our bodies will be.
Bodies will be
for him.
Our spirit and soul are with him right now.
As far as our spirit and soul, yep, we are living with him right now, just as much as we'll be living with him in
eternity. Yeah. Questions at bftbc.org. Give us an email if you have one, or call us 856-361-901 at Yvonne.
I have a question to play off. It's changing the current session, but I was trying to remember when I went to school, because some of you don't remember the school. I know the teacher read a, she did a story to us. I'm trying to remember she read the Bible, and we did the Pledge of Allegiance. I think sometimes she did read the Bible. I was wondering if Mr. Kell can remember.
Did they read the Bible when you went to school, Vic?
Oh, the school in public school?
Public school.
We had the Lord's Prayer every day. I remember very well. Yeah. In first grade, not in early, I cannot remember.
Yeah, first grade.
In first grade, I remember very well. Yeah. Because we'd all have our, the teacher would be leading the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm, and we'd all have our heads bowed. And occasionally, at one point, in a way, some mischievous kids got up from their desk and ran back in the back of the room while we were having the Lord's Prayer.
Oh,
and then they sneak back, come back real quick to the desk before amen. And the teacher would bow her head and close her eyes, so she couldn't see all that stuff. So I remember very well having the Lord's Prayer, and I think she read some scripture.
I say,
I'm not sure.
Now, what were they doing in the back room, you know?
Just first graders.
First graders.
You know, whatever.
Get out of their seat.
Anybody here talk first grade?
I was Saturday the night. That's today, you know.
Well, I just was interested in that. It's interesting.
All right.
And remember when you were in Newton, you ran to school today because the Bible got in school?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember.
Yes, sir.
There was something you said about that tonight.
Back in the early days, when I was at Newton, that would be 19, what would it be?
Before 65, the family.
1965, 60, 61, one, and then 65. They had prayer and Bible reading out of the school, so I ran to the school committee and put Bible reading back in the school. Didn't win anything, didn't think it would, but we ran it. So, yes.
So I have to insert one more thing.
Yeah.
And this teacher that I was telling about, later on, after she retired, she married W.C. Poole, the composer of Sunrise Tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that right? That's interesting.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm.
So I hope you were saved and brought down to Christmas.
Absolutely. Oh, well, that's good. Of course, they were not old-fashioned Methodists.
Oh, is that right? What school was that in?
What city? Public school down in my hometown. Eastern Shore, no.
Eastern Shore, no. Good. All right, now, he died for us to be together with him. And then in verse number 11, there's something for it and say people to do. What is the wherefore mean? What is the wherefore?
For this reason.
Right? Because of the things made ahead of time, because of what is preceded, wherefore, almost like a therefore, what do we do?
Comfort.
Comfort yourself together. Now, what does it mean to comfort? Comfort.
Encourage.
Background with babies, Thessalonians were being severely persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And so they needed comfort. And so he's saying this as it should be a comfort to them, with the knowing the knowledge that we are not going to live and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so then to us, think of what this means to us being with Christ. I mean, to quote that verse again, our life is hid with Christ in God. We are in Christ. And my goodness, isn't that a comfort to us? I mean, we're right there out in the Trinity, you know. And what can be a safer place than that?
Right.
You know, and so.
Minister otherwise. Okay, that's true. So, we comfort. Now, does every Christian know how to comfort another Christian?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do they know how?
No.
Do they do it well?
No.
No, they don't. How do you learn to comfort something? Can you learn it? What is it?
That's the word.
That's the word, teacher. Is it possible to learn to comfort? Is it possible? Do you want to learn? Do some people make a mess of it? After they try, but they fail? If you haven't lived through something, is it easy or hard to comfort someone that is living through that something? If you haven't lived through that same something, so it's harder.
You have
to put yourself in, see? I've never lost a mate. Dad says lost her husband, see?
what made it so rough. See, certain things you don't understand. We've lost our parents, maybe. We understand that. Dad and mom and law, but Dick has lost them. So we can't put ourselves into that thing and comfort until that happens to us.
I've experienced that with a number of my customers that lost a mate.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking, we understand each other where we're coming from.
Yeah.
Talking about this. Whereas if I had not experienced it,
right.
It wouldn't be quite that.
That is a bit tougher, but it's now available to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, and it's an important thing. For not that we have to listen to everything in order to understand, but it's easier if we have it to. In other words, can somebody counsel a murderer who's never committed murder? Is it possible to counsel them? Yeah, we counsel, can I leave them alone? I mean, but we have to let them know certain things you don't have to live through before you can understand and comfort in some way. Get that?
Well, it seems as though the Thessalonians were going through the Thessalonians were going through the same thing together as believers. So they automatically had that same experience, but they just weren't comforting each other because they didn't know how to expect the similar experience and practice and the comfort.
Because it does say together, doesn't it? Comfort yourself together, so there's togetherness. In chapter 4, is there any comfort in that verse?
Yes.
That chapter?
Yes,
verse 18. What does it say about comfort there?
Comfort
went on with these words about the rapture, the same going up first, and then they're the ones in the grave first, and then they which are alive caught up together with it. Comfort went on with these words. So, worse than comfort. And we should comfort one another together. What's the second thing God tells us we're to do in verse 11? The belief. Edify one another. Now, what does edify mean?
Build up.
Yeah. Jonathan?
I think there's one important thing I just realized here in the comfort one another with these words about the we which are alive and remain should be caught up together with them. At the rapture, there will be believers alive, and they'll be caught up with those who have died.
Mm-hmm.
So, all things will continue until the end.
Mm-hmm. So there'll be a caught up together with those who have died, living and those who have died. Caught up, that's right. So, edify means to, what is what we say again?
Build up.
Is it easy to edify some people? Can you edify people if they don't want to be edified?
No, everyone.
Is everyone edifiable? What do you mean by that?
To some degree,
yes.
Sometimes we don't know the impact of what we said.
All right.
What
about those people who say, I don't need any edification, I know it all? What about those people?
We haven't met them.
What is it?
We haven't met too many of them.
Some people act like it.
There's a lot of verses in Proverbs, you know, which I can pull up to memory right now, that say some people just don't want to listen.
That's true. Lee, Yvonne?
I think maybe certain people can help certain people, and other people can help that same person.
That's true.
You know, like, I myself help one person, but another person can, or someone else can stand in my faith. Another person comes and can help them.
What should be the basis of edification?
Scripture,
the Bible. What does it take then to be an edifier?
Knowledge of the Bible.
Charity, also knowledge of the Bible. If you're going to use the Bible to edify, build up, you don't know the Bible, you don't know
the Bible. You're talking about building. I'm not sure where you're going to build anybody up. I mean, you can talk to a person and say, well, I think this, I think that, I think maybe this and that. Some philosopher said this or that, but it's nebulous.
Right.
And if you know the scriptures, and you know passages of scripture that particularly pertain to this person's problem or whatever it is, then you can truly edify them, because what you're giving them is the Word of God.
that's the Bible as it's written down.
That's it.
So you have to know the scriptures.
That's all it's there for. To be properly edifying someone.
I was recently, I was in an argument with somebody about...
You in an argument?
Yeah, we're
okay.
a discussion of different points of view. And it was regarding a moral, philosophical kind of thing, and I brought up Bible scripture, and the statement was made, how dare you bring up, use the Bible with me in an argument?
Is that what you said? Well, some people don't care about the Bible. They don't care about
what else are you going to use?
That's true. In 1 Corinthians 3, he talks about another foundation of no one lay than another say, which is Jesus Christ. But not a man take heed how he build it. So the building, the edification, we've got to be very, very cautious. Paul said the precious stones were in trouble, but there's building properties on Christ. And so edification takes a certain building, and if it's the wrong building, wrong philosophy, it's a different thing, isn't it? There's all different kinds of the vice given and edification given. There's a lady that wrote a question back in 2006. The reason I know that is because I finally caught my wife's suggestion that I put to in writing some of these question and answers. I did the first 200 questions, so well, let me try the next 200 questions, or on the next 200, from 200 to 400. See? And one of the questions I looked at the other day from 2006, they were having a statement of faith, a doctrinal statement in their church. And they came up with this saying, what about deacons? Should it be the husband or one wife? And what does that mean? Just no polygamy? Does that mean no divorce or anything? Just one wife, you know, in other words, the wife has died or whatever. And they had a woman on the committee. That's the first thing I said was, in the first place, you shouldn't have a woman on a doctrinal committee. It should be the man to take care of the doctor. But anyhow, then I went and answered the question. But the edification has to be in the proper basis, the proper Bible, the proper scriptures, and everything has to be doctrinally sound before you edify anybody. So I don't know how that turned out, because that's like 4 years ago, and I wrote this and asked you to go with that. I probably should check and see what happened to that statement of faith. But to edify one another, as it says, this as also you do, where's that implied?
You're already edified, already comforted,
what those things are true as you already do. So just encourage them to do that.
That's an order.
Yeah.
I said, we're doing well, isn't it?
Yes, we're trying to, trying to edify each other with the scriptures. And I just had to answer the phone, and she said, well, but nobody wants to be.
It's a phone, way up in the kitchen.
Sounds like it's in the kitchen.
Oh, in the kitchen phone?
Okay.
Now let's read verse number, we push the button to get a hold of it. Let's read verse number 11, let's see, no, number 12, 13, and 14 together.
And he beseeches you, brethren, to know them, so that you will hunt them, and they will overdo the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the evil-minded, support the weak, and patience toward all men.
By verse 12, beseech means what? Ask and beg and encourage very strongly, beseech. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, Romans 12, 1. It's beg you, ask you, brethren again, to know them which labor among you. What does it mean to know them?
Who can know your
pastor? It's a pastor living among them. Whether they're regular church with pastors, whether they're teaching elders, you know, whatever their capacity, that are over you, labor among you. Who would those be? Who would those be? That labor among you. Is that physical labor? No.
Ministering.
Whether they be deacons, whether they be pastors, whether they be Sunday school teachers, whatever they be. Among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Over you in the Lord. What does that mean?
In charge.
Some encouragement. And admonish you. What does admonish mean?
Warn.
To warn. Sometimes to encourage. Sometimes to stir up. Sometimes to criticize. Sometimes to condemn. Who knows? But to know that, first of all. Well, how do you get to know the person that is over you in the Lord and that labors among you?
How do you get the Lord?
Fellowship.
Fellowship?
All right.
First of all, you got to listen to them. If you don't listen, you don't look, believe, you know how they think. Sometimes you meet them personally, you talk personally. Sometimes you go to Wendy's and talk over them. Some kind of different things.
To know them and labor among you in the Lord. Are some pastors unknowable? Seemingly so. Some of them so loose that no one can approach them. They're seeming to see that way.
Well, I've seen some. Somewhat aloof.
They say, are some doctors aloof that you can't approach them? Some doctors can't even call them a telephone. Visit some of the physician's assistants, so then you can't even talk to them either. But to know some, it seems to be there's a relationship between those that labor among you in the Lord, in the ministry, and the people. And that's why you know them, to get to know the understanding. Yes, ma'am?
If you get to know the pastor too well, then there's something there, the breakdown, there's not the authority or something.
Sometimes.
All the swimming together and picnicking all the time.
Yeah, there's a fraternization that can be not good. What is the rule in the military as far as enlisted men and officers? What's the rule?
Officers
only right. They don't associate.
They don't
The officers have theirs
and
the rest of them. So that's the reason. And in the military, as a Navy chaplain, I was an officer. We had a pastor or a chaplain's assistant. And we had to be very careful. The chaplain's assistant didn't get too close to the chaplain, so there's not that command, you know, there's an arrangement there that if you break it, then you have nothing left.
Command presence?
You can be too. Palsy-rousy, call what you will, with your officer and enlisted in the service and military, and that breaks down. That's why they have these rules. They know that breaks down. Because when in battle, when an officer gives a command to the enlisted man, if you just find out, well, what do you mean deliberately they question? Because it's too friendly, see? But an officer gives a command in war, and that's it. Yes, I answer. You do it, see? And this, they realize that it breaks down, you're too close. And that's right. That's true, you see. You have to think.
Speaking of the words already, esteem them highly for over you, that's right. There's an over you in the Lord, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at Ephesians 4, where it says that all of this, he gave some pastors, apostles, and so forth,
mm-hmm.
and he gives a reason for it, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's the importance of this.
That's the importance. Overview. Different ones, different guests
of God, they're overview. If you're not one of those apostles or prophets,
mm-hmm.
then they are overview.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is for your protection, mm-hmm. as it says.
Yeah. So, Paul occasionally has these verses. There's some Hebrews, some right here, that have to do with the relationship between the fellows and ladies and gentlemen in the church body, the membership and the congregations, as the relationship with the teachers, the pastors, whatever you want to call them, that are over there teaching the Word of God and exhorting them in the mindset. And so this is one of the verses right here that's very clear. Not only should we comfort and edify one another, but also come to know those that labor among them and over you in the Lord and in the mindset. Then in verse 13, you have violence.
It's known as the loneliness of command.
Well, that's true.
The more up you are, the more distant you have to be, I think.
That's true. That's said in the military many times, the loneliness of command. A commander, I mean, whether it's a captain of a ship, whether it's the colonel in charge of a platoon or a company, whatever it is, you have to be on your own, just alone. So to the issue orders that people will go along with it, there's a loneliness in command. Yes, is it Martha? Or the Anna, I'm sorry.
Those people are supposed to know them
when they're among them and they're older. They're supposed to know them. That's right. And to know them, we've got to understand them, we've got to listen to them, we have to know their names and know about them and know what to believe and trust. So you certainly should listen to them, should attend the service and do everything you have to carry.
Pastors, but it's
so young. Could be pastors, could be teachers, could be the deacons would be laborers in the Lord's work dimensions. That was a labor in the Lord's work in the Lord, whether they missed on the field, a number of things. But they're the Christian workers that are working.
Yeah,
Dick?
And then there's a problem. What if one of those leaders, you know that they are teaching something that's not scriptural?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the way of this. Then what?
Well, I think you've got to go back to verse that precedes that, and you have to go back to verse 12, admonish them. They admonish you, you've got to admonish them.
That's a good point.
They have
a
cast. They've
got a spiritual, like a question. Proper to go to your pastor and ask it, or would that be going too far?
Yes, I think that's right. You got a question? If you have a question for the spiritual leader, ask the pastor. Now, some pastors take complete charge of the congregation. You can't move without the pastor's approval. That is not right. If you have a question, that's fine.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I've been in churches that way. Not that I'm that way, but I know pastors. Before you get married, ask the pastor. Before you get selling a house, ask the pastor. Supporting the English, that's right. Pastor has approved it? No. Whoa, this is dictatorship from the pastoral office. We're not doing that. But question and answer, absolutely. Go to the pastor. That's what pastors are for. Now, who can't get somebody to raise a hand? Hannah, do you
understand?
I don't
know. I don't know.
Let's go on the question, okay. Yeah, Ron.
I think in parody, there's some parody.
Yes.
Like I was hearing a friend this morning, children do not need a friend, they have to. They need a parent.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Sometimes you don't want to hurt the children's feelings, so that if you're not being a parent, and maybe the parent feels like they need a friend and want their child. So when you're raising your child, there has to be a parent child, not friend friend.
Exactly right.
Maybe when you get older, it's friend friend.
That's the same reason why in the military, the officers and rest of them, you don't cause your focus. You got to keep a distance. So with parents and children, you love your children, but there's a distance. And they know that you're the father and mother, and they're the children. And so that way you have that relationship, which is a sound relationship and not an unsound. Dick, you have something in?
No,
okay. So, do
it, but
Jim, did you have something in? Martin, did you have something?
All right, say that. Okay. There's one of parents, and it's like sometimes these relationships can get somewhat complicated because it's like there's a parent and then there's a child, but at the same time, they both, like, are in the Lord, and so that makes the siblings, anyway. And
the parents are a sibling and the child is a sibling in the Lord, you think?
The parent and the child are siblings in the Lord.
The Lord, okay, right.
Anyway, and like with God, we are his children, but we are also his servants.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yes.
Abraham was called a friend of God.
Abraham was called a friend of God, that's right. Questions at bftbc.org, give us an email, or 856-261-9058. And so, the ones that are in you, over you, or admonish you. And then in verse number 13, we go a step further, and to esteem them very highly. What does esteem mean? Was it?
Yeah,
value. That's good, value them. Calling say that there's something that they should work. Now, Dick asked a question. What if pastors give wrong doctrine or get so you've got to talk to them and you disagree? You can't agree with the falsehood. And if pastors are that false, you have to leave that church if they're teaching false doctrine. Leave on part of that church. Leave the church, don't go to that church. And various reasons for leaving churches, but that's certainly one of them. And then a pastor is a misconduct. Whether it's adultery, whatever it is, and so on, you leave that type of situation, you don't want that mess. We have some friends of ours, we'll mention names, that they were very happy going to that church. It was not too large a church, but a very fine church. All of a sudden, the pastor got into trouble with another woman. They couldn't stay with that church. They left that church. There's no question about that. We were the church party, we're not mentioning names, and we got out before this pastor had an adultery with another woman. See? We got to smell a rat before even the rat came to bite us. We got out of there fast, see? But certain reasons say why, and then when the pastors aren't preaching the scriptures, they're preaching nonsense, they're preaching their own ideas, they're preaching, all different reasons for leaving church, but certainly, you, if they're godly pastors, godly working the words of the Lord, you esteem them very highly for their work's sake, if they're right in their work. That's for sure. Now be sure of that. Sound pastors, sound laborers for the Lord. Is that Jonathan?
Yeah.
Oh, sure, exactly.
I mean, some pastors may be honestly mistaken in some point of doctrine, and will accept the fact that if you come to them, privately, and discuss that point with them, and show them how, as you said in the scriptures, that they're wrong, and a pastor should be willing to do that, at least discuss it.
Right.
And I'm thinking of Priscilla and Aquila.
Yes.
He was a great man, a great preacher, but they took him aside and explained the gospel to him. And he accepted it, and became a great servant of God and a great companion of Paul.
Now, I've got an assignment for Dr. Williams. I hope he's listening to us. Dr. Battle of Georgia.
That is
awesome. Well, he's awesome, but he said he'll see us today. I think he really got home yesterday at 5:30 p.m. And he wrote me and told me that. So, but Dr. Williams, I have an assignment. After the service, someone came to me because of what I said in the service. This morning, I talked about the United Nations. I talked about treaties. I talked about our Secretary of State that has already signed a treaty that's going to link us up with the whole world of people as far as guns and gun regulation and taking away all of their guns and removing the Second Amendment. I was told by this person that you can never violate the Constitution by any treaty whatever. And I believe in the Constitution itself, there's a clause in there about treaties with foreign countries supersede our Constitution and throw it out. And that's why our president has used this in order to get gun regulation all over the world. So, that's Wednesday. Check that out of the Constitution. Appreciate it. Let us know. I will look it up myself. But I believe that I'm right. But the person that told me this believes that he was right. So, I want you to read that. Bill.
It says also in the Constitution that government shall make no law that supersedes the Constitution.
Good, right? That's in there. The law and services are counted.
Yeah, treaties will supersede the Constitution, but they have to be ratified
by the Senate or House.
That's right.
That's right.
In conjunction with the Constitution.
Now, that's what I said this morning. Must be ratified by the Senate. But beseech your senators not to ratify this crazy treaty, whatever they do. Ron, is that right about ratification?
Yep.
They grant the treaties to that supersede if they ratify it?
Well, if the Senate passes it, then we agree with it.
Yep, so then it does work with us.
Yeah, if the Senate passes it.
Now, that's the thing.
I'm sure she got it to go take it to the Supreme Court and let them decide.
All right, so that's the thing that I remembered in my Constitution. That was there, but the other gentleman that seemed to know his Constitution, he said, no, that's not. But I was willing to be corrected, Jake, as you said, when I make statements. But I said this morning, one of the things we've got to do is be willing to make a mistake. We're corrected by somebody. Fine, let's correct it and make it right. Very important. So that's the base on which the person went to me at Wendy's we talked about. So, Dr. Williams, you find it, give us a call, or I'll look it up myself if you're sleeping. I don't mind if you're sleeping, you're tired, I know you're just heading for a long, long trip, 2 whole weeks in Florida. All right. So, any other comments on it? Now, you're deceived, esteem them. What do you say, esteem them?
Value
them very highly. Why? In love for their work's sake. Why is this in there?
Did
you find that?
No, and you
got
to see, but they
told
me
to
go to
the U. The U, they got rid of the U. You should go to a T for T in it. All right. Esteem them very highly in love for the works of. Why is this word in love there? Why is this word very there? Why is this word highly? Yes, ma'am?
A lot of people that aren't in the ministry don't understand what it's like to be in the ministry. And
why don't they understand?
I don't. Because they're not in the ministry.
All right, go ahead.
They don't understand all that's involved in ministry.
Is that
mean Suicide? No, it's hard. You have the wife and children that give a great deal up so where the father and husband can be the pastor.
All right.
And it's very hard on the whole family. It's hard on, I don't know if it's hard as a pastor or not. He seems to love it.
Depends on who's pastor's talking about.
But Constitution. I mean, they're very high in love. So you should respect them in love. You should respect them. The pastor is a human being. Your wife is a human being. She has her own kind of personality. Maybe it's not your personality. And the children. And maybe the children are criticized very much in Catholic churches.
Well, our children are criticized to take up the scripture and most students.
Yes.
How are they criticized?
Another person's child can do worse things than the pastor's child, and nobody notices it. So I think.
What is one way to give our children if they'd be quiet and take up the scripture?
Silver dollar, I think.
Something like that. Did they shake that?
But I didn't know.
She put that woman up to church. What did she give us?
She spent the bag.
On the rug. And then she gave us
a
beautiful
rug. It was a nice rug that you made me get rid of.
Oh, pardon me. Well, that's another question.
What I'm trying to say, I did not know she gave them money to be quiet.
No.
They weren't really that bad.
All right.
You know, but she was sitting by, and we had a house church too.
All right.
So I didn't know, and she said, and when he said, why aren't you coming anymore? And she said, well, your boys are moving around and everything, and like that. And I gave him the silver dollar, and it didn't seem to play. And I didn't know she gave the silver dollar to keep quiet.
Money talk, but sometimes they're talking with money. Right? They're coming. Rescue us.
Going back to verse 12, when it says, know them which labor and money. I guess that's partially my question, because, you know, oftentimes you run into the pastor, but his wife may not actually be working in a visible way, but she's always.
Yeah.
And is this
verse
talking about
God
too?
Well, possibly you love the passion, love this family, and fight this with them, I suppose, this family, labor among you. Sometimes wives are very quiet in churches. I think that's
not
your.
In this church.
Not that person. But that's your Peyton. Pastor Peyton, the church over there, Bethel Baptist, Elgin, Pastor Elgin over in Bethel Baptist, Mrs. Jane was very quiet. She didn't do anything. So, some pastor's wives, they were this great, but others, they get involved with it and do things and so on. Somebody had a hand up there. Yes,
tell me. Then who they were among you, brings up two thoughts. One, there might be some people who are not the leaders in the church, mm-hmm. who are working hard in the church to do things, and
okay.
to know people and know who's doing what in the church. So mm-hmm. it's the responsibility of the mm-hmm. of the people in the fellowship to know who's doing what and to try to support them in that. The other thing I was
saying, that was plural, so it's not just one, it's them.
So we should be alert and aware of people who are doing things and what they're doing. I recall Joe Coach of the Calvary Chapel. His church grew, but he started out just teaching Bible studies, and the church grew and grew. Mm-hmm. People started to ask him, well, who are the elders? Who are the elders? Who are the deacons? He said, well, who do you think they are? He didn't really select or elect to anybody. He just kind of, those who were really helping, kind of let them rise to the top, and then they were just became selected as the elders.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. We have helpers in our church here. Bill is a helper. I've done videography. I've done a lot of help when she's on there. Anna's a helper when she's on there. And Dan's a helper, of course, in the video streaming all over the world. So we have helpers. Those are helpers. And Tammy's helps with the insurance, everything. So helpers, know them that are in the Lord and over you and esteem them highly for their work's sake.
What
do you think? Oh, Mr. Gale, yeah, she's a helper, absolutely. Thank God. And Emily was today, she helped us. You use that with the same, that's right, all the people help me. People help with their giving, those are help with their giving, and so on, by their attendance. So these are helpers for things that esteem them highly for their work's sake. That means they do something as far as their work, that they have some results, they have some fruits of their labor. And to be at peace among yourselves, in verse 13, it ends up with peace among yourselves. Why does it put that in? What's the opposite of this? Trouble, war,
fighting,
bickering. Do churches have fightings and bickering sometimes?
Yes.
And wars?
Do they have church splits on that?
Yes.
But your Baptist church has a church split.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your Baptist and church has a church split.
Yeah.
The Baptist almost nation.
Yes, yes. Baptist splits in most churches are not over points of doctrine, whether you're teaching the scriptures correctly or not. That is not generally because of splits.
Right.
A generous split on the color of the carpet.
Yeah.
Or some other nonsense.
Yes.
Or who's going to run this particular committee?
Yeah.
Whatever.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that's true. And of course, when a Baptist church splits, other splits, if it sounds, the staff can go somewhere else, they can fill that thing. So you multiply by splits. Sometimes churches get too big, and so they split off. But it's unfortunate. We've had, I think, four churches since we've been here 45 years that we've attended and been members of. One way off in Pennsylvania, remember that one, and three right here close, in fact, four right here close. One, two, three, four, yeah. So that's five over here, see, in 45 years. Well, now, never one of those churches, I don't know about the one in Pennsylvania, I haven't kept track of that, but I know the one in West Onslow Heights, so that's divided by different ones. I know the one over here at Cherry Hill, and actually, there's all kinds of splits and divisions. I know it because we know about it. See, they split for this reason, that reason, they've gone away. Some of the other churches, and some of the churches in this area have gotten bigger because the splits of the lower ones that have left. And they've changed the Bible, all kinds of things happen. But for still, to be at peace among yourselves. Now, sometimes, to bring peace, what does it take? It takes division. I think the one that's really troublesome. Better believe. Now, I remember that man over at the Bethel. He wanted a huge, huge church. Bethel Baptist, right in China, I'm told. And so, there were the old timers, there were the deacons that founded that church. It was an old timer church. And they wanted to go one way. Pastor over there, it was a big church. And he said, sometimes those who are pillars hold things up. Those who are pillars hold things up. Which means these people as part of the church were fit. And if you hold things up, maybe it's better to leave. And so 50, 75, 100 left because the preacher wanted a huge, huge Monmouth church. And since it split the whole church up, he left. He just left the church. I'd be grown up for those churches. Horrible, monstrous type of pastor. I don't understand the ethics. But I'm not there. I wasn't a member at the time. I just know from what people saying the things and so on. So, but be at peace among yourselves. It's great to have peace. Now, let me ask you this. Do things, are things always peaceful just because you think they're peaceful?
No.
Sometimes there's an inner peace, it's an inner war that you don't know. I'll tell you, that certainly was true in our little church here. It was not true. I was so stupid and so ignorant that I thought, what a wonderful church. And we got that church in Newton, which was kind of war and everything. And what a wonderful peace. Little did I know there was war in this church. And about a week or two later, it erupted. Wow, what's the matter with it? Dropping it. Anyway, it erupted, and it's just, you don't always know war underneath. But it seems so peaceful. Am I right? Because underneath, so things can blow up by you if you don't know. Let's stop right here at this verse, but this one. Any other comments or questions before we close?
Yeah, I have a comment.
Ten more books for on the floor.
That's what marriage is about.
Oh, yeah.
Marriage is
like
that.
No
fight.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yes.
There's no fighting. The wife is real nice and everything. And one morning the husband comes home from work and she's gone.
Well, I believe that's true.
Or the husband, he's got an apartment someplace and he's gradually pushing that.
Yeah.
And he's up on his sister.
Yes, my sister.
You don't know.
Sure.
Well,
my sister.
I have a comment.
Yeah, comment.
How about,
you find it now?
Yeah.
How many books are
there?
Well,
I'm
good.
Jack keeps his stuff.
That's okay, all right. Go ahead.
All right. Okay.
Comment.
Tell about when
Dennis comes
and
doing that 3 o'clock. Okay, Dennis is coming June the 12th, before, that's a Saturday, before we announce at 5 o'clock over at the Old Country Buffet. Can you come at 3 o'clock instead? There's a little cheaper price at 3 for dinner. It cuts off at 3:30, so if you're not there by 3 before 3:30, you can't get that cheap price. I asked the manager, I said, is this Christian? Is this all right? Come at 3, get the lower price, and still, when the food comes at 3:30 for the evening, eat the food there? She said, nothing, no problem at all. you're not being cheated? No. He said that was all right. I didn't want to violate any ethics on that. But some people do that. They come at 3, then have the other meal, they keep eating and eating. So that's what we do at 3 o'clock. So Mike got down June the 12th, Saturday, at 3 o'clock, the Old Country Buffet. We'll see you over there. You're a guest of our church. We have to sign up to make sure you're coming. Let me know. That way you'll know how many are total. I told the man about 15 or 20. Now, maybe that's a wild guess. Maybe it's an unwild guess. 15 or 20 is what I said to him. That's all right. No problem. Let me know a couple hours before or the day before. We'll prepare for it. Other comments or questions before we go this afternoon? Yes, sir.
Didn't get to say this last time, Gary. Missed it. Really, back to verse 8. He once again, and he's every now and then, Paul will refer to this three abiding things, faithful sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in verse 8 again. Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Faithful and love.
Yes, that's a good point. Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, thank you. You close the word for us, Lord Christian.
Almighty God, we thank you for the end that this afternoon of the Bible study from Colossians chapter 5. And we thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, and also be able to share and believe together, and we just labor to under your ministry, and we thank you for this community, and also let help us to esteem each other, and also help each other and pray each other. And so we thank you for this lovely word of God, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for coming. Please pray.